Welcome to Marilyn Solutions with Reverend Marilyn, the speaker for the new millennium. Join Marilyn as she talks with guests offering a wide range of talents and information. And now, here's Marilyn.
Welcome to Marilyn Solutions today. I'm so glad you're here joining me. And I hope that you were able to watch Ascending with Angels yesterday on Channel 77 when I appeared. I was able to have my grandsons watch the program while they were visiting. And I was pleased they became so interested in what I had to say, and they kept asking me questions. They're 13. Pretty curious age, I found out. And they kept asking about spirituality until they boarded the plane to go home to Boise. And so it was a real special time for me to be able to share my spirituality with my grandchildren. And I'd been looking for the right opportunity, and that seemed to present itself just wonderfully. So I hope you saw the show, too. And for those of you that are interested in angels in your home or for gifts, my angel portraits and inspirational plaques are available at Crystal Voyage at Freight House Square in Tacoma by the Tacoma Dome. So remind yourself and your friends that your angels are always with you, and they make wonderful gifts for if you're looking for some that special something for that special someone. Go over and check them out. And this morning we have a real special treat today. We have a person who's moved to our area into Kent and contacted me about being on the show, and I was so glad he did because I have been thoroughly enjoying his books. So I'd like to introduce to you the Reverend Theodore J. Nottingham, who is the new senior pastor of First Christian Church of Kent. His spiritual messages can be heard every Saturday at 12:45 p.m. on KLFE Radio, 1590 a.m. He's the author and translator of 12 published books, both fiction and nonfiction, which can be found at Amazon.com. Reverend Nottingham works in a variety of genres, including historical and metaphysical fiction and screenplays, teleplays, and children's books. He has also produced a number of television programs which have aired on the major networks, which I'm very impressed about. He holds a master's degree from Phillips Theological Seminary and has been involved in the study of spiritual development for over 20 years. Ted is an ordained minister in the Christian Church, Disciples of Christ, and has been deeply involved with the practice of spiritual transformation now for over 20 years. He is frequently published in the Seattle New Times and other publications across the country. Good day, Ted. You're having a good day?
I am. It's wonderful to be here. Thank you.
Well, thank you. We're having another sunny day, which we really cherish in the Northwest.
My wife and I very much enjoy your weather around here.
Well, thank you. The rainy days aren't as much fun, so we really do like the sun when it comes out. Did you come from what brought you out to the Seattle area? Where'd you come from?
Well, we came from the Midwest, came here to become part of First Christian Church of Kent, answering that call, eager to join with the folks in the Northwest. We've been interested in Seattle for a long time as a place of spiritual seeking, spiritual development. It seems to me that the Bay Area sort of moved up here in terms of the kind of cutting-edge thought that is going on. But most of all, we wanted to come to this part of the country and be with your big trees and beautiful surroundings.
Well, we're glad you're here. And from what I'm finding out about you, Ted, we're going to have a real treat having you in our area.
Well, we hope to reach out to a lot of people. As you know, we live in a very segmented society, and folks who are looking for meaning often don't look in the direction of the church anymore. And it's to those folks that I've tried to reach out over the years to help them discover deeper levels that have not often been presented. And I'm eager to do that in every possible way and help folks find practical ways in which to awaken to the deeper things of life.
Well, I think you were successful when I read your Messiah Chronicles. I'm not usually a fiction reader, Ted, and when you sent those to me, I've just read the first one of them, but I got so engrossed in your book, I could hardly put it down, but it was a tremendous way of it's a lot of people like action movies today, and so there was a lot of drama, a lot of action in that book, and it also had such a terrific message. I found it to be very powerful.
Well, thank you. If you want to get a message across, you have to present it in a way that people can receive it, you know. And sometimes the straightforward approach just is not acceptable, so whatever it takes to help folks get in touch with some wisdom that can help their daily lives is what I'm trying to do through whatever means I can.
Well, what intrigued me is, about 10 years ago, there was a spiritual fiction book came out that everybody was reading. But I found your book to be much better written, and that part I appreciated being a writer myself.
Well, thank you. Not too many people have found the book, and it's sort of just lingered, but it can be found at Amazon.com for those who are interested. And it's, you know, it's an interesting effort to try to bridge the gap between different kinds of audiences. Folks who, as you know, there are series out there that are based on very conservative theology that are very popular now to a segment of the population, and I'm trying to appeal to a broad spectrum of readers, and that's quite a creative task to accomplish.
Well, I know from what, reading your book, I could see that very easily as a movie. I think it would make a terrific show.
Well,
have you thought of pursuing that?
I have in the past, and that's a long, hard road. Now I'm more interested in helping folks, you know, face-to-face, one-on-one, find their way in life. I'll leave Hollywood to do what it has to do to sell popcorn.
Well, you've had some success on television. It would become could be a miniseries.
Again, my interest in coming here is to get back to the grassroots, to the local community. Doing national things, you know, has some value to reach out to folks, but my wife and I are much more interested in a return to people-to-people type of activity. The value of helping one person, one at a time, find their way to a deeper understanding, to healing, to an awakening to the reality of the divine in life is the greatest reward.
Well, I agree, because that's what my mission is, too. You wrote some interesting other material, books that I've been really enjoying, like Written in Our Hearts, and in there you wrote, "The treasury of Christian spiritual writing seems to have been forgotten or rejected, reducing preachers to administrators and social activists while leaving people in the pew in a state of starvation." And you mentioned that Dr. Charles Ashannon, I believe his name is, a professor,
Ashannon,
commented that your book had real relevant guidance. And I was wondering, what is your approach to the presentation of Christian teachings?
Well, you know, there's, in terms of the legacy of wisdom that comes down to us from that tradition, we have hardly begun to scratch the surface. I often say to folks as we discuss these matters that one of the big chunks of the teachings that we in the West are completely unfamiliar with comes out of the Eastern Orthodox teachings from the Byzantine Christianity days. The earliest teachers of the faith in the Middle East and so forth, who essentially were cut off from Western civilization around the 11th century, when the Roman Catholic Church went off on its own and became the leading proponent of these teachings. And what was left behind was a quality of mystical insight that most Christians hardly know they are part of.
I agree with that.
The Eastern teachers talk about the idea of deification, the idea of encountering the energies of God, the idea of how to use your inner attention to work on yourself, really, in a very contemporary psychological manner that enables people to apply the teachings and to become new people. To see themselves for what they are and to find ways to create an inward peace, an inward space that then opens them onto an entirely new field of possibilities. This comes out of ancient teachings that were much closer to the times and life of Christ than what has come to us as academia and theology since then. So my approach, to answer your question, is seeking that truly practical methodology of living in your daily life, entering into the present moment, dealing with ordinary things that you have to face in a manner that has a transformative opportunity for you. You know, people who are caught in traffic right now, if they're listening to us on one of your highways and dealing with stress and anger and so forth, this is where religion makes the difference. Otherwise, it's merely an external belief that has no bearing on your immediate reality. My view is that the Christian teachings, as many other great spiritual teachings, can help you in each moment of your life find a relationship to what is going on, a relationship to yourself that brings you into a place of more objective awareness, of letting go of bad habits, of becoming a spiritual person. I've known people who have made great achievements in that area. It is eminently doable. Unfortunately, religion is so often, even here in the Northwest, with all of its open-mindedness, is often reduced to something rigid, doctrinal, separating one person from another, and taking away the approach to unconditional love, which is the whole point of the teachings of Jesus.
Well, I think everybody that's listening has probably come across something like what you're expressing. And my experience was that I found I needed a more open-minded point of view that was part of my actual daily living, and something I could incorporate to improve my environment and my reality. And it was absolutely, in my case, an imperative. So we're probably talking on the same wavelength here, Ted. And so we're going to take a break here and talk, have our messages out there for everyone to hear. And we'll be back shortly. Don't go away. We're going to talk some more about spirituality today and how you can employ it in your life. So stay tuned. Thank you. Welcome back to Solutions with Marilyn. We are having a really interesting conversation today with Ted Nottingham, the minister at the Kent Christian Church, who has just recently come out here to be with us in the Northwest and seems to be enjoying it. We have been talking about some of his books that he's written. He's written a large selection of material. And one of the books that he's written that I want to talk a little bit more about is Written in Our Hearts. Ted, you talk in there about changing the I in that particular book, and you said that it's not something that people can necessarily do of their in their own lives. And I have classes, and I teach and do my counseling and showing people how to change that I. And from my experience in other spiritual tools that people have helped me with understanding the process, how do you go about developing a higher consciousness?
Well, let me get right to it. And in fact, the changing of I is very much a doable thing. And one of the teaching methods that my wife and I have come across is known as the fourth way, which is not a very familiar teaching, but it was pieced together by a man named George Gurdjieff, who in fact rediscovered some of these inner traditions of spiritual transformation from earliest Christianity. And in the early part of the 20th century, due to his own intense spiritual search, gathered these teachings however he could and brought them to the West. And they are being taught here and there and can be found oftentimes cut off from their connection to Christianity. But here we have a contemporary explanation of what was being taught to the early Christians, the early monks of the Egyptian desert, where one begins to look upon oneself, one's inner workings, one's psychology, in a more detached, objective manner that enables one to see what is going on. The ancient Christians talked about the watch of the heart, which is precisely encountering our thoughts as they come through and not taking them for granted, and therefore not just going with them and becoming them. And if you pursue the fourth way, you find that it is linked to the great perennial wisdom found among the mystics of many traditions, where a detachment and inner peace allowed them to transcend themselves and their selfishness, their pettiness, and enter into another quality of consciousness, sort of like going to the top of a high building, if you will, and seeing themselves and the world around them in quite a different manner. And this, in turn, allows people to become instruments of something higher, such as conscious love. In the fourth way, it is made clear that we are so fragmented in ourselves, so full of contradictions. There
That's
is no
true.
Real unity.
Very true.
You know, we live in the illusion that we are one person all the time. And even in the Gospels, you know, the Gospels are sacred teachings, very profound. And one of the great blasphemies is to reduce them to their surface level and not perceive intuitively what spiritual teaching is coming through there. To our misfortune, they are very rarely presented with the power that is truly in them. You know, when we hear words like watch, do not sleep, this has to do with human consciousness, and the revelations of Christ are timeless and universal because they come out of sort of the ultimate human wisdom about our potential transformation. One of the big mistakes people make is to assume that the idea from Christianity is that Christ is God and therefore we worship him rather than become like him, that he is the prototype of our higher conscious form of being, which all of us have a birthright, by birth that are called to become. And what's left out of that whole process is the step-by-step method of doing that. And thanks to synthesized teachings like the Fourth Way, my wife and I are able to share with people specific ways of dealing with our own psychology, our individual issues, how to get out of unconscious bad habits and attitudes, how to not be so lost in the chaos that daily life is for most people.
Sounds like we're teaching the same thing, Ted. We've had a caller call in, Ted, and would like you to explain the difference between spirituality and religion. Is that possible?
Certainly. That's a wonderful question and a key question. Religion, one could argue, is reduced to an institutional organization or a set of rules. And often religion is an externalized obligation and belief system, where spirituality is spiritual and inward and transformative and open, free. You know, the letter kills, but the spirit gives life. It's
exactly.
A powerful quote from the Gospels. And I tend to prefer the word spirituality to religion, because religion, you know, has done horrible things in the name of the Prince of Peace, and in many ways bankrupt itself in that fashion. You know, the reality is that Jesus did not come to bring us a religion. He came to bring us a direct connection with the divine.
In fact, there wasn't any religion, it's called Christianity, when he was here.
That's right. It was called, you know, his very first followers were called themselves simply followers of the way. And the way was a way of being, which treated women properly in an age when that was never done anywhere in any culture, which was loving and caring in a way that was unheard of. And this was part of the revolution that made early Christianity so different and powerful in the midst of many other options of those days, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And we've completely lost sight of that. You know, in some ways, it's not a bad thing that Christianity is no longer on center stage and sort of completely caught up with the culture. You know, it used to be the flag and apple pie and religion.
Mm-hmm.
Christianity belongs really to the remnant, to the catacombs, to those who are really not interested in what most of the rest of the world is interested in terms of materialism and self,
Well, Ted, I'm thinking that churches do form a certain good in that some people are secure in that situation. They need that security because they might not have the trust to be able to venture into more spiritual growth, and therefore that might be where they're supposed to be. But some of us who have kind of ventured beyond that security and looking forward into a more mystical experience and meaningful, practical part of our being, as you were talking about, maybe there's a place for all of it. As we evolve, I'm sure that we're evolving from, you know, some of the old traditional church stability, but maybe some people can't even get past that. Is that, I found a few people in so steeped in fears of their traumatic childhoods and so forth that that's the best they can do.
Well, at First Christian Church of Kent, what people will find there who come and visit is every week, every Sunday, my focus is to help them into an experience, help lead them into an experience that they generally can't get in the rush of their daily schedules. Each Sunday is an opportunity to center down, to quiet down, to let go and have something else come through. You know, the mystics say you must be empty so that you may be filled. And church as a community, in many ways, is more needed than ever because the human community has been devastated, you know, by modern life. The trouble is when church reduces itself to a set of obligations or just a social club, that in itself is a destruction of its true purpose, which must be a spiritual beacon in the best sense of the term. And the tradition of which we are a part, the denomination, the Christian Church Disciples of Christ, was actually the first American-born denomination. And so it was filled with the new visions of this country when it was young, you know, freedom of thought and so forth. And it was open to all, open to the unity of all, over and above the creeds that had invaded the churches over the centuries in Europe. And so I do believe strongly that there's a chance for renewal, and it's up to people searching, to keep on searching until they find that place that has a quality of the spirit that they sense must be from the Gospels.
Yeah, and I really like what you said about emptying yourself so the Spirit can fill it, because I know from my past experience I was such a workaholic and overachiever and such a doer, and I was at one point finally in such exhaustion I just laid down and breathed. That's basically what I could handle at the time because I couldn't even watch television. I was in such exhaustion, and I, having gone to church all my life, I said, God, what am I supposed to be doing, you know, because I always was such a doer. And the, what I got back in response was, you're going to learn how to meditate. And in that situation, all of a sudden, I guess I was ready, that I find is a key spot, and ready to finally be open to the messages that did come in. And this information I've received today is the basis of my work in finding out, as you were saying, how to get rid of the attitudes and the behaviors, the fears that stop us from growing so that we can be filled with that spiritual attitude and spiritualness in our lives that we can apply it daily, because it is so very practical.
And yes, and as you're saying, the difference between doing and being, it's that being part that we've left out.
Exactly.
We're good at doing, we're not good at being.
Right.
And that's not just some nice esoteric idea. That is critical to right living, to right alignment with reality, with peace and joy and all that we really seek deep inside. But all of that has to be found at a spiritual level, now more than ever, in a society that's just out of touch with anything profound.
Well, one of the things that you're talking about really is exemplified very largely in the 12-step movement, and the churches have not in the past. I'm glad to hear you're helping your practitioners learn tools and hands-on experiences to become more spiritual, because generally there has been just a continuing humdrum of messages in the church and not how to clean out what's inside, such as trust God, clean house, and help others. And so what tools do you actually help others with so they can actually have that emptiness for the spirituality to start to manifest and employ in their lives?
Well, if somebody's driving through Kent the next few days, they'll see on our reader board the title of my sermon this Sunday, which is Watchfulness. And here we explore the teachings of Christ in a very specific way of dealing with one's own psychology. You know, one quick clue to applying the Gospels at a more profound level is recognizing or realizing that it's all about our inner life. As Christ says, clean the inside of the cup.
Oh, I like that verse.
You know, that's a very powerful thing, and is at the heart of all of it. You know, it's all about our own inner life so that we can become new people in a very real sense.
Ted, and we're going to take a break here, and we don't want to miss a word, so please hold that thought, and all you people out there, hold that thought, and we'll be back with you in just a minute. Thank you. Welcome back to Solutions with Marilyn. We're so glad you're listening today and finding out those answers that you were always curious about, such as one caller asking what was the difference between spirituality and religion. We're really glad. Usually we have phone calls coming in. Today we chose not to do that, and we got one anyway, so we're glad you're out there paying attention and doing a better job than we are. But anyway, if your organization is looking for a speaker or wants to raise money, I'm available for an informative evening. And I have spoken internationally, and I enjoy speaking, as you probably figured out, so I'd be glad to help you out. Also, if you're interested in metaphysical classes, my class on Edgar Cayce, a 20th Century Psychic for Healing and Health, will be in Seattle on September 7th at Discover You. So if you want to register to find out more about Edgar Cayce and his wonderful work with health readings, metaphysical answers, dreams, all kinds of psychic understanding, you can register ahead of time, and you do need to register ahead of time, actually, for this class. You can email www.discoveryou.org or call them at 206-365-0400, and register for my class on Edgar Cayce for September 7th. I know you'll enjoy it. And if you wish to reach me for counseling, spiritual counseling, my classes that are coming up at Pierce College this fall, readings or messages from your angels, past life regression, or to talk to those passed over, you can reach me at 253-845-4907 or email me at marilyn@angelicusgifts.com. If you wish to make a contribution to continue this program on the air or select a topic or guest, you can also email me or call. And I want to thank Jennifer Easley of Seattle for making a suggestion of a possible guest. And we're working on that might be able to come together at a later time. But her comments about the show I would just like to share with you. And she wrote to me, "Thank you for your wonderful show, Marilyn Solutions. Many thanks for the wonderful support and inspiration you provide for our community. And I'm just delighted to know how you people feel about the program. So keep those cards and letters coming." And we want to get back to Ted now. He has a lot of wonderful information for us. And Ted, you were talking about tools for helping us to clean out what's in the way of our spirituality. And I agree, it's very practical. In fact, I've had many spiritual experiences which have literally kept me alive, which I share in my book, Roses Have Thorns. But it provides also a daily security in living in balance, wholeness, and fulfillment, I found. And why do you think it's such a practical approach?
Well, first of all, in reference to Christianity, it's important for people to realize that the only way to be able to access the deeper wisdom in these teachings is to let go of the old baggage and associations caught up in virtually every word of the teachings. You know, we've all heard so many of these phrases of Christ from childhood, but often from the mouths of people full of judgment and anger and condemnation, and have therefore never gotten close to what really might be being said there. And so I urge anybody who's seeking deeper meaning in a very authentic way to rediscover for themselves what the revelations of Christ are without all of the associations of the past and presentations by others that may have kept them away from them. It truly is a crucifixion of truth that these teachings are misrepresented by people who have no deeper love, who have no greater consciousness, who do not reflect anything of the spirit and nature that Christ showed us was at the heart of the universe. And therefore, in our own small way at First Christian Church of Kent, we are trying to bring back to the surface what is at the heart of the biblical teaching, which is not laws and regulations and condemnation.
Which I see is what the religion part tends to stress.
That's right. You know, people in their desperation want easy answers, want simple ways of doing things. You mentioned, you know, what are the tools? The first tool on the spiritual journey is to be honest with oneself mm-hmm. about who one is. Inner sincerity is a key, because we have a great mountain to climb and overcome, and that is ourselves. We ourselves, our egos, our self-interest is in the way of encountering the divine, the sacred in life. And so it is knowing who we are rather than taking ourselves for granted that is the first step. And of course, most people want to live in their self-interest and in their fantasies of themselves and don't want to rock that boat at all because they're very self-satisfied. So these teachings are really for people who know that there's more to life than what they're experiencing and that aren't satisfied with just their own personal self-gratification, but know that there's something great about being alive than what the world might sell to them. And
it takes a deep, deep desire to be able to say, I'm going to open that door to who I truly am, because for some people it can be very scary. I know in my case, the first time I really made the conscious choice to look inside and see who I really was, I didn't want to know because I was afraid you wouldn't like me if you knew the real Marilyn. And so to look at that and to sort it out, the truth from the false about that, was a very threatening thing at first, and then gradually I discovered how rewarding it really truly was. But my fear at first was the biggest issue.
Yeah, and it can't happen in a vacuum. You know, in this day and age when there are so many different teachings out there, you know, it's really hard to pick and choose. It's sort of like being at a smorgasbord, you know, a buffet table. You don't know what you're going to eat. I advise seekers to keep looking for that quality of wisdom teaching that has real maturity to it, real depth, real authenticity, and that in part can be verified by its universal quality, its perennial quality. If you find in the deep teachings of Buddhism similar ideas as you'll find in the teachings of Christ and of others and of a psychologist who you come across, then you might be able to make your way through this vast variety. But those great teachings have a unity of thought, and one of those unities, which is captured in the methodology of the fourth way that I was talking about, is recognizing that have the not only the unity that we think we have, but even the willpower. Everything we're doing seems to be in reaction to the outside world. We're stimulus-response machines rather than beings gifted with the willpower to act consciously.
I like what you're saying, because in my teaching, I call that the victim cycle, and we have to quit responding from those exterior things and start responding with God's will and love and strength.
These spiritual teachings are not about personal power. They're about reaching a level of goodness and humility, which is, in fact, the way of Christ.
Right. The power actually comes from God, and we're just the channel when we clean out those things that have been in the way.
That's right. And in this day and age, humility is so misunderstood. It's misunderstood as weakness when it is, in fact, real strength. The real choice to not be a person of anger and violence, like Gandhi and such, demands tremendous self-control and self-transcendence. And that is the true dignity of being human.
After reading your Written in Our Hearts, I finally am accepting that I guess I am a mystic of the martyr type. You mentioned three types in there. And I had some circumstances in my life from a disease, and I had no choice but to utterly sacrifice and completely surrender my inner life to God. So that's why I'm sitting here in this chair today. And I'm now an instructor of the soul, as you called it in your book, Poet and Minister to the Sick. And that's what my counseling and talking's about. And I'm really like what you're saying, Ted, because I think so many people have been frightened to look at what they need to look at and do. And it's the action of actually walking through the making the changes, the spirituality starts to come into that void when the past is released and the surrender happens. And that's so neat for other people out there to be saying that too, because so often people don't really know how to walk forward and what's going to happen when they do and the rewards. I'm sure you can share, verify stories in your life of helping others that the rewards are tremendous.
Yes, and I do see the minister's role truly as a care of souls role, a spiritual healer, if you will, of the psychology of people that has been battered by life. We've all suffered and built up defense mechanisms and so forth, and in the process have buried ourselves in deep inside. And so the church, as a true spiritual community, ought to be the one place you can go to where you are free to find the vulnerable self within that has had to hide from the world or be hurt by it or afraid of it, and come forth and claim its place in this world in the name of God. But again, it's a hard road, because it does require that we walk away from vanity and all of the ways that people behave and take for granted. And there is an element of sacrifice in that we need to die to be reborn, if you will, at a psychological level. And the rebirth is becoming who we truly are.
Well, it's interesting you say that, because I have been going through that dying process and literally have come out on the other end. But it was very painful about a week ago, because I really truly felt the death happen. And about a month before that, I really truly felt a total shift in consciousness from those past things blocking me finally being shifted out, so that the channel was cleared. And that was a real, real blessing for me to be able to say, yes, I have been walking the walk and it is happening. And for people to know that other people out there are doing it, I think they need to hear there's others just like them out there working on the same things we're talking about today.
Yes, my wife Rebecca and I have translated a book by the German psychotherapist Karlfried Graf Durkheim. He has a marvelous saying, and that is accepting the unacceptable.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Well, we're going to take a break here, Ted, but stay tuned, because we still have some more interesting information about spirituality coming along.
You have 1 minute remaining.
We're going to go off the air, and I've lost my credit card. Ted?
Yes.
When I keep... Welcome back to Solutions with Marilyn. We had a little faux pas here. My calling card ran out of time, but Ted very graciously called us back. But the nice thing about being in King County, you can call toll-free, and I never thought to have Ted call in toll-free on our line for Seattle and King County. So thanks for calling back, Ted.
You're welcome. It's wonderful to have this conversation and to hopefully reach out to folks who are out in the neighborhood looking for something meaningful. I just want to remind folks that First Christian Church of Kent is worships at 8:30 and 10:30 on Sunday mornings, and you can find us on the web at firstkent.tripod.com, and I welcome any visitor or anyone who has questions about these profound matters to please feel free to contact us.
And I agree that this would be a good thing to do. And I want to remind my listeners of... next week, you know, not to forget to tune in. We have a special guest next week, Dr. Mitchell Gibson, who is a psychiatrist and talks about an astrological study of psychic and spiritual ability. So apparently mental illness and other things can be detected through astrology, and I think that's a fascinating topic. The following week, we have Dr. Connie Kaplan, who will be here discussing dreams are letters from the soul. So if you are interested in more learning more about your dreams, you can listen to Dr. Connie Kaplan. You can also come out and catch me at the Edgar Cayce class I'm teaching September 7th because he talks about dreams too. You too can sponsor this program. Call me at 253-845-4907. Get your message out, your services out to the listening public and all times of the day so that you have a different audience that you're attracting each time. So give me a call if you choose to do that. Or if you choose to ensure the show continuing on the air by a contribution, you can also call me at 253-845-4907. I'm available for counseling, classes, readings, past life regression, or to talk to those passed over. You can email me at Marilyn, M-A-R-I-L-Y-N, at angelicasgifts.com, angelicasgifts.com. Now, we want to know, Ted, you mentioned they could reach you on your webpage and at your church, but I noticed in getting hold of you through Authors Den, which you gave me that webpage, that you have an extensive amount of material on there. People might be interested in reading your articles and stories.
Yes, I have a number of articles there, and as you mentioned, a variety of genres, children's stories and so forth, also can be found there. And that's on authorsden.com. Just put my name in, Theodore J. Nottingham. But I'm mostly interested, as my wife Rebecca shares with me this interest, in spiritual counseling to folks, helping them along the way. I want them to know that there is the possibility of finding a peace and greater consciousness and meaning, and that is the very purpose of spirituality. It's the mission of Christ and of all the great mystics who've come down through time, and that even though humanity has bungled religion dramatically and in many ways turned it into its opposite, that there are some places where you can still find healing truth, and First Christian Church of Kent is one of them. That's why we're here, and that's where we're going to stay for a long time to come. So I hope we can help as many people as can find their way to us in whatever way that we can. And most of all, I hope that they can rediscover in the teachings of Jesus a path to the kind of person they always were meant to be.
Well, that's
lost
wonderful.
Along the way.
That's wonderful. And Ted, and you're letting me know about Authors Den. Yesterday I spent some time getting my book and information on authorsden.com. On the web. And also for you people that are wanting to know more about my classes, they asked me to list my events on that web page. So if you're wanting to find out more about the classes I teach, they will be listed on authorsden.com, just like Ted's information is. Ted, while I was looking through your material, I came across something that really creates a little curiosity with me, and you wrote a book called The Curse of Cain, The Untold Story of John Wilkes Booth. And that sounded fascinating to me. Could you quickly tell us what that maybe was about?
Well, simply that the story of Booth can serve as a parable of good and evil, and the fact that there is no escape from the karma, if you will, of one's bad actions. There is a story that is not in the history books of his having escaped and wandering the world, you know, helped along by secret societies, but spiritually being destroyed by his act. And that is the that's the heart of the matter, you know, that there are great consequences of great impact of all that we do. And I use that story as a reminder to us that spiritually we have to take responsibility for all of our behavior, because it will come back to us.
Well, I have found that to be true. What goes around comes around does happen.
Marilyn, I want to remind the folks that they can hear my spiritual messages on 1590 a.m. on Saturdays at 1245, just if they want to have a taste of this interpretation of the scriptures and how it applies to their daily life.
Well, that's good. If they missed it before, we don't want you to miss it. If you're interested in hearing more about spirituality and this information, you know, that really, really makes our lives transformed so that we find the happiness, the fulfillment, and the peace of mind that has been escaping us, that's what Ted and I are talking about today. If you're looking for that, there are answers out there.
And I would add to that the capacity to be good and to do goodness, which is, of course, our calling in life, you know. That's what we were designed to be. And that doesn't just happen by itself. One has to make an internal effort to move out of one's selfishness into a more transcendent place. And the gift to oneself is greater awareness, greater consciousness, greater empathy for others, and greater purpose in life. So I hope for those listening out there that your journey, your search for truth, can end in discovering goodness as the center of it all.
And, you know, that's exactly right. When we get out of our heads, when we get out of the fear that's been in our lives, or the resentments, or the negative feelings that have been driving us, and replace it with that love of God, that unconditional love, I think that we automatically manifest it from our heart then, because it's not blocked anymore, and we can truly be that child of the universe and of God that we were meant and created to be.
It's funny you should use the word automatically, because part of the teachings of the Fourth Way and of the early fathers of the Church is the use of attention with intentionality. You know, being conscious in many ways means not being automatic. It means being very much alive and alert. Again, as I quoted earlier, Christ speaking of watch, you know, be alert. And it's a very demanding a way of life, really. You know, it's pulling yourself together out of your daydreams and into a focused attention. Mm-hmm. Where you encounter not only others, but some quality of the sacred in the present moment.
Right. Yeah, I know that it is a conscious change that does tend to flow. Ted, how do you see the future of Christianity in a pluralistic world?
Well, Christianity needs to reclaim that unconditional love that you mentioned, in which the walls come down. And in order to be true to the teachings, Christianity has to embrace what is good in all the other teachings around us, all the other cultures, and help people find that oneness, that unity, which is the very manifestation of the one God in the family of which we are a part. And if Christianity closes in on itself and becomes intolerant, then it will have completely failed its mission. The true follower of Christ cannot be an intolerant person.
Exactly.
And therefore must be open to all others and help them find their own truth in their traditions, which is merely a reflection of the universal truth that Jesus revealed in his incarnation. the nature of God at the heart of the universe being not one kind of God or one people's God, but the very force of love and care that we all deep inside know is the true path to our humanity.
Well, that's wonderful. And I think today people have really gained a lot of insight into spirituality because of you, Ted, in your books. And you've also had a lot of material on television. Is there one particular documentary on television that was your favorite that you wrote?
Oh, very much so. And in fact, I hope to air it here locally one of these days. And that is a program that I did, that I showed on NBC called The Resurrected Life, Understanding the Meaning of Easter. And it delved into the deeper teachings on what crucifixion and resurrection means at the spiritual level for each person. And I hope folks can see that sometime. A lot of persons with deep wisdom were involved in the program, and it's probably the best piece I was able to put together in my days working with cameras and editing equipment and so forth. And it can be found on the web as well if you just put in The Resurrected Life. It's available as a one-hour video. If not, come by First Christian Church of Kent, and I've got some copies I'll lend you.
Oh, we'd love to do that, Ted. Well, we are so glad you're here talking with us today about letting our walls down and letting that love out that we were created with. Ted, thanks for a terrific show.
My pleasure.
And I want my listeners to know of all the wonderful information you gave us. They can go to your church and find out more or listen on the radio to your station, 590, Saturdays at 1245. So
1590.
I'm sorry, 1590, you're right. And thanks again for revealing your helpful knowledge today, and we appreciate your time with us. Hope you have a great day, too.
Thank you very much, Marilyn.
And everybody go out and enjoy the sun, and tune in next Wednesday. We'll be back. Solutions with Marilyn. Enjoy. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Marilyn Solutions. Listen again next week for another informative show with guests from coast to coast. For a copy of today's program or a copy of her new book, Roses Have Thorns, and videotapes on empowerment and spiritual tools for healing domestic violence, write to KLAY in care of Marilyn Solutions, 10025 Lakewood Drive Southwest, Tacoma, Washington, 98499. Or visit her website at Marilyn@angelicasgifts.com.
Many people are looking for a new direction and a lift in spirit. Hello, I'm Reverend Marilyn, a counselor, teacher for over 30 years, and a spiritual advisor for addictions, codependency, domestic violence, past lives, and holistic healing. Join me every Wednesday at noon for Marilyn Solutions, a program sure to be of interest to everyone. We will talk with guests from coast to coast, offering a wide range of talents and information. That's Marilyn Solutions, Wednesdays at noon on your news and information station, KLAY 1180.